In 2021, I started reporting on a project being done by the Vanishing and Appearing Sources during a Century of Observations, or VASCO, led by Dr. Beatrice Vieira-Well. In that initial search, 9 faint, star-like points were identified on a plate that appeared and then disappeared when a plate taken half an hour earlier was examined, along with one taken 6 days later. One plate, there, the other two, there not. The work further continued and more transients were found. The whole idea of this project was to look for astronomical transients in our vast collection of photographic plates that have been accumulating at various observatories and universities worldwide for well over a century. These historic glass plates serve as a permanent and often extensive record of what was occurring in the night sky when those plates were taken. These kinds of plates have already been used in the search for technosignatures, specifically in the case of Tabby Star, or KSC-8462-852, a star that mysteriously dimmed very dramatically in the Kepler spacecraft dataset. Photographic plates were able to confirm that the star had been dimming and returning to normal for a century in this way, offering further insight into whatever phenomenon is going on there, which seems to involve dust in some strange, unforeseen juxtaposition around that star. But that matter is not settled, and there may yet be more papers published on it. VASCO wasn't originally looking for that sort of thing. Rather, there are hypothesized transient astronomical events, and ones we don't know about, that probably happen in the galaxy. But we don't normally catch them because of the timescales at which observatories in the past operated, along with the Herculean task that it would have been to go through the enormous amount of plates looking for these things with a human eye. But with modern algorithms and AI, this has become much easier. And indeed, with the Vera Rubin telescope online and beginning its survey, we will see much more of this, because it specifically is designed to capture movement and transient phenomena. Another telescope of use here will be the wide-angle, space-based Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, which, working in tandem with other observatories, and will probably also yield interesting things in its own right, or at least more data on astronomical transients, or at least follow-up data to a detection. Even if it sees nothing on a second look, that means that a transient was observed. In the case of the VASCO project, however, a different, unexplained type of transient was detected in plates originating from Mount Palomar Observatory in California. Initially, the transients found appeared something like satellites in orbit glinting, and later plates revealed very small dots that did not appear to be emulsion irregularities, but rather something that actually was in the sky. The objects, however, presented evidence of being in orbit of Earth, but very tellingly, doing it well before the launch of the first satellite in space, Sputnik, in 1957, by the Soviet Union. We simply had no satellites or space junk in orbit in the time frame of these plates, which was 1952. I did a series of interviews with Dr. Vieira-Well on these unexpected transients at Event Horizon. Links in the description below, as well as to all papers on the matter. The main criticism levied against the papers, particularly the more recent ones, was that there was an elephant in the room that might cause an effect something like this. And that was nuclear testing. There was an infamous incident where U.S. nuclear testing ruined a rather expensive set of photographic stock that Kodak had manufactured using paper crates from the Midwest, right in the zone of the fallout, leading to odd clouding and other effects in the plates. This led to a lawsuit, eventually Kodak being informed of nuclear testing secretly so they would know to protect their stock. But there was somewhat of a problem with this criticism that, in general, the prevailing winds from Nevada or New Mexico do not usually blow towards California. Instead, rather often, but not always, for such a particle to damage a plate would need it to travel around the planet to deposit in California. So it should be evident in plates taken only east of the blast sites, unless the plates were manufactured back east or whatever crates they were in was. This does not apply to testing done later in the Pacific, however, which in principle might have provided a better source, but at a huge distance, which seems less plausible. It's also possible that the Palomar emulsions were contaminated if they had been manufactured in the eastern U.S. or the cartons were, but I have not found an answer to that. So that's where the mystery lay, the ambiguity of the dots, even though they were never a particularly good match for nuclear fogging. There was a rebuttal paper making the case that these were not a product of nuclear testing, and that there was statistical evidence that this wasn't the case, along with the transients not being consistent with plate contamination. But the controversy continued. This now, however, seems to be laid to rest in a new paper by another researcher independent of VASCO, and it's gotten even stranger. In a paper by Ivo Busco, it is reported that in a completely different set of more limited plates taken by a 1.2 meter Schmidt camera in Hamburg, Germany, also from the mid-1950s before Sputnik in 1957, on a cadence of about 30 minutes apart for the same area of the sky as from the Palomar PAS 1 and 2 plates, that VASCO searched. Here it's actually a bit more complicated in that the VASCO transits had certain features that this new study confirms, which points to these actually having been very brief optical flashes that would be consistent with flat rotating objects in orbit of Earth. It's not, however, consistent with long exposure photographs of stars. These are too point-like and indicate a very short glint-like duration. Some plates were even taken independently of Palomar on the same night, but with a very similar Schmidt camera type of telescope. In short, this appears to be confirmation of the VASCO transits from an independent source in all ways. That becomes much more difficult to explain away as plate contamination, which should appear everywhere in plates of that period if it was truly that bad, but the phenomenon does not. The new paper notes that it might also be consistent with objects not in orbit of Earth, but passing closely to Earth. Only more detailed corroboration and work looking for periodicity can resolve that. The new search yielded 35 good new candidates for transients, at least as described by VASCO originally, using computerized algorithms to aid in the search. The new paper reports that there are many more plates left to search independent of Palomar, and that the work will be ongoing to continue to search for more transients of this type. In short, whatever this phenomenon is, it appears to really have been there. Much has been made on this in the UFO-UAP discussion because of a rather strange, perhaps coincidence, perhaps not, report by Solano and colleagues of three bright transients in a plate dated from July 19, 1952. This set of objects appear and vanish within a 50-minute photographic exposure, and were bright, which actually drops the likelihood for plate defects. The strange thing here is that this falls within the range of a very large, well-witnessed UFO event over Washington, D.C. that lasted several weeks in July of 1952. I get asked about this a lot, so we'll explain it. The reports of what happened was that a series of sightings were witnessed over D.C. on the weekends of July 18th and 19th, and then again on the 26th and 27th of 1952. Why the phenomenon favored the weekends is unknown, but a bit of a red flag, if one is honest. This flooded the infamous Project Blue Book and the Air Force in general with reports, leading to more reports in 1952 than the previous 4 years combined. At around this time, Dr. Donald Menzel entered the picture. As a strange aside, Dr. Menzel was the head of the Department of Astronomy at Harvard. Up until recently, that was a position held by Avi Loeb, which is the Donald Menzel chair. While at Harvard, Menzel was responsible for destroying a huge swath of Harvard's archival astronomical survey plates, citing reasons of budget and the costs of storing them, which led some of his colleagues to literally hide plates in their offices to keep them away from Menzel. Menzel also had ties to national security and the U.S. government, and Loeb has said publicly that he thinks the most likely explanation was that the government told Menzel to destroy them. Something that actually has happened before in other contexts. Make of that what you will. Menzel put the whole UFO thing down to temperature inversions ultimately, and the media did go wild and somewhat sensationalist over the Washington incidents, and it's been said the whole thing was because of the overall media attention on the subject in 1952. But there were some head-scratcher aspects to it. Now before going on, I have to state once again that I am a skeptic of an alien origin for UFOs. And it's absolutely possible that the transients have nothing at all to do with the UFO incidents. But it's interesting, and I relate the story here in general. So how it started was that on the night of Saturday the 19th, an air traffic controller at Washington National Airport spotted seven returns on his radar. They were 15 miles south-southwest of the city, and there were no known or authorized aircraft in the area, nor were they following correct flight paths. The controller, Edward Nugent, brought in his superior, Harry Barnes, to take a look, who concurred that this was not a normal situation, so they checked the radar, which was found to be working normally. The controllers called a tower, which also had a radar, and they saw the objects too, independently on their own radar, only for them to visually see a light hovering in the sky that sped off at great speed. More objects appeared. The airport called Andrews Air Force Base, which then reports back that they aren't seeing anything on their radar, only to have an airman on the base call in and report seeing what was described as an orange ball of fire, which also took off at great speed. On the airport runway, a pilot of a commercial flight was waiting for clearance to take off, who reported a meteor, or what he thought was one, only then to report a group of six white lights, and as he saw them, they showed up on the air traffic control radar. Weirdly, the objects disappeared when fighter jets entered the area, but then reappeared after the jets ran low on fuel and had to leave, suggesting that whatever it was watching air traffic that night. The sightings continued the next week, with even more military and civilian aviation personnel seeing these objects along with the public. The sightings were never fully explained, and the best anyone could come up with were weather effects. But that's not a very simple answer, given the accounts and radar returns. But ultimately, the real problem is that the radar data is not preserved, and all of it is word of mouth from over 70 years ago, with most, if not all, participants deceased. That's not very actionable evidence in science, but people were asking me about it in relation to the plates, and now the confirmation of that work. So, make of it what you will. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently recommending the movie version of Project Hail Mary that's currently doing quite well in the theaters. It's based on the novel by past Event Horizon guest Andy Weir, and translated unusually well to the screen, so worth heading to the theater if you're inclined. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.